Bible reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 22, starting at verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning. Let's pray. So, Father, we ask now that this account of Abraham and Isaac will help us to understand and point to what Jesus has done for us. Help us to respond to your call for whatever challenge you have for us. Amen. So on the 30th of June 1859, a stuntman called Blondin walked along a tightrope suspended over the Niagara Falls in North America. And it became something of his party piece that defined him. By the end of Blondin's career, he developed it in many ways. He crossed the tightrope pushing a wheelbarrow, cooking an omelette halfway across, carrying his manager on his back, and doing a somersault on stilts. Makes you cringe just thinking about it, doesn't it? Remarkably, he died of natural causes in his 70s. The story goes that one day, being the showman that he was, he worked the crowd. And having crossed using his normal pole, he then crossed pushing a wheelbarrow to great acclaim. "Do you think I can cross again?" he asked, but this time with someone in the wheelbarrow. There was a roar of agreement that he could. This was then followed by silence and much shuffling of feet when Blondin then asked, "Which of you is going to volunteer to get in then?" Eventually a volunteer did and was safely transported across. Now that was faith, literally stepping out in trust. The writer to the Hebrews in his letter writes of Abraham, kind of summarizing about him. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was able to bear him a child. And so from this one man came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. If you read into Abraham's account, you can see that he is an imperfect person, but he is remembered as a man of great faith. Indeed, he was the father of the faith, a man who put his faith into action. And this was a costly thing to do, but it resulted in great blessing. So what about today's reading about Abraham? He heard something from God he didn't want to hear. I wonder how you feel about the story of Abraham going to sacrifice his son Isaac. Have you ever questioned why on earth God would want Abraham to sacrifice his son? Child sacrifice existed in some of the people groups in the region, especially those who worshipped the Canaanite false god Moloch. It's clear that child sacrifice, of course, is not the Lord's will. The Lord spoke through the prophet Jeremiah when the people of God were turning to this practice. It says, "They've built a high place in Topheth in the valley of Ben Hinnom to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, something I did not command, nor did it enter my mind." What the Lord was doing was testing Abraham's faith and obedience to another level. The Lord was also wanting Abraham to see the injustice he had done to his other son, Ishmael. I'm sure you remember about Ishmael. The Lord had promised Abraham that he would have countless descendants, but he was an old man, very old man, and his wife Sarah was well beyond childbearing age. No child was forthcoming, so Abraham took the matter into his own hands by having a child with the maidservant Hagar. And this child was named Ishmael. He was born of the flesh, but eventually Sarah miraculously became pregnant with Isaac, who was the son of God's promise. Abraham tried to do it his way as opposed to trusting in God's way. So we need to see the account of the command to sacrifice Isaac, the son of God's promise, in this chapter 22, in the context of the preceding chapter 21. Now Abraham had Isaac from his wife Abraham. Sorry. Abraham had a son, Isaac, from his wife Sarah, the son of the maidservant. Ishmael was now seen as a threat. So he'd had the eldest son, not from his wife. Now he'd had a son from his wife. This son, Ishmael, was perceived as a threat. So Ishmael it didn't look good for him. So Abraham sends Hagar, the maidservant, and Ishmael into the desert with only the barest of food and water. In effect, Abraham was sending Ishmael to his death. In fact, the Lord intervened and led Hagar and Ishmael to a well, and Ishmael survived. But Abraham assumed in his mind that Ishmael was dead. So in commanding Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, he was making Abraham experience what Hagar experienced, thinking her son would die. Sacrificing Isaac is a means of making atonement for the apparent death of Ishmael. Abraham sees God's command as a way of restoring his relationship with God, making it up to him for what he had done to the other son. In this way, God's justice is being worked out. There had to be a price to pay for the injustice against Ishmael. However, we also see God's mercy come into play. Just as the Lord intervened by an angel and shows Hagar the well, so the angel of the Lord enabled Abraham to spot the ram. Abraham sacrificed the ram as a substitute for Isaac, and God reveals himself as a God of mercy who provides our needs when he puts us to the test. So we see in this incident, justice is seen to be done, but God intervenes to demonstrate his mercy and provision. Abraham's faith and obedience are tested to the limit. Abraham is an example to us of someone who rises up to a God-sized challenge. We see from Abraham's example with Isaac what is involved in a God-sized challenge. So let's think about God-sized challenges for a few minutes. What do they involve? What can we learn from this story? Firstly, a God-sized challenge requires immediate obedience. When you get the first signs of toothache, do you take a painkiller, book the dentist, or hope it will go away? When there's something unpleasant to do, we can often put it off. But not Abraham. He was obedient to the call of God and set off early the next morning. Secondly, a God-sized challenge involves something that cannot be replaced. Acting in obedience meant that Abraham had to choose to sacrifice his son. Isaac was irreplaceable. It's always harder to give up the last one we have. Ishmael had already gone, already dead in Abraham's mind, so there was now only the one son. Imagine you cut a cake into segments. You offer it round. Everyone takes a piece except you and one other. There's only one piece left. When that last piece of cake's on the table, do you take it or do you let someone else eat it? It's a trivial example, but the point is when God is calling us to do something big, we often have to give up something that cannot be replaced. For me, that was my relationship with my own father when I was called to ordination. He was opposed to what I was doing and cut me off. I had to choose whether to continue with God's call or hold on to that which was very precious and unique. It's a long story, but after 5 years in God's mercy, the relationship was restored. Thirdly, a God-sized challenge involves a journey. Abraham had a 3-day journey to the place of sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And this journey was on top of the long journey that Abraham had made from his homeland at an old age to go to Canaan all those years before. The faith journey requires us to travel on from where we are at the moment to a place where God's purposes can be worked out. It's during that journey that we are refined for the task that God has for us. One of my great heroes is William Wilberforce from my own hometown in Hull. And as a childhood, he was influenced through family members who were strong Christians. That was part of his formation. But when he went to university, he lived a very different kind of life, getting involved in gambling and all sorts. But then, one summer, he made a journey through France, and it was during this journey that he rediscovered the faith that had been nurtured in him. But then the journey went on with years and years of work to get Parliament to abolish the slave trade, which they eventually did. So on this Palm Sunday, we think of Jesus' final journey into Jerusalem. He acted in obedience to his Heavenly Father's call to go there, and this was despite what he knew would be facing him at his destination. He knew what was coming. It was a God-sized challenge for Jesus. The whole Abraham and Isaac situation is a glimpse of what was to come for Jesus. Isaac was the son of the father of the faith, Abraham. Jesus is the son of our Father God. Both were miraculously born. And the parallels go on. Isaac carried the wood for the fire for his sacrifice on his back. Jesus carried the wooden cross on his back and was sacrificed. Isaac was to be sacrificed for God's justice following the banishment and likely death of Ishmael. God has been wronged through the sins of humanity, and there has to be a sacrifice for God's justice to be satisfied. A price needs to be paid. But we see God's mercy at work because a substitute is provided. A ram was a substitute for Isaac. Jesus is a substitute for you and me. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In God's mercy, Jesus died in our place so that our sins can be forgiven. And then the letter to the Hebrews tells us Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Jesus was raised from the dead at the resurrection. His obedience was vindicated by God's miraculous intervention by raising him, just as Abraham's obedience was vindicated with the provision of the ram in the place of his son. So we see in Jesus a complete fulfillment of God's justice and mercy. He acted in complete faith and obedience to his Heavenly Father's call. Jesus' final week was a God-sized challenge for the benefit of us all. So when God speaks to you with a God-sized challenge, maybe something that you don't want to do, will you get in the wheelbarrow and let him wheel you across the chasm? Amen.
Thank you, David. Shall we respond in prayer right now? And St. Paul wrote about Jesus, that he always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to become equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, He gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. He became like man and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. And so, Father, we thank you for the obedience of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you, as it were, walked across that tightrope. We thank you that you didn't flinch, that you set your face like flint, as the word says. And thank you, Jesus, that you